is a Misfits Audio original Halloween special production. This audio is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
The Enchanted House of Doors by Anna Estep Tatterzak. Standing silently, I peered through their cemetery gate, trying to visualize my grandmother's house. The monstrosity perched on a hill and overlooked a neighborhood that stretched between Glendale Cemetery and the Akron Automobile Association building that had been razed, replaced with concrete and steel. Suddenly, I was magically transported by a flood of recollections back to my childhood. Momentarily, I felt the embrace of the only person who could make me feel indestructible. I love Grandma, therefore nothing separated us for long, not even that ominous house. The structure, resembling a setting for a horror movie, loomed nearly three stories above ground, with its formidable basement windows nearly at my eye level. The house could evoke enough terror that I could become paralyzed in its shadow. Whenever I had a nightmare, a portion of the house always appeared as the backdrop for the most frightening episode. As a four-year-old, I remember sneaking out of our house across the neighbor's yard and inching my way towards the big house. As I approached, I could see the shutters barely on the window would scream and as they would open and close with the slightest of wind. The banging sound would echo off the other buildings, even though everything else was dead quiet. The grass and weeds have long been neglected to a point where four-legged creatures now call it home. Very, very carefully, I would watch where I put my feet as I scanned each stained window for any signs of movement. I expected an apparition to jump down on me. My stride quickened with each step as I approached a hideous structure until I ran up the two back steps, praying the screen door was open. I grabbed for the metal handle. My strength increased with the adrenaline flow, sent the wooden frame door crashing against the banister where it ceased moving behind me. The storm room, which I was very scared of, was to my right, which housed my grandfather's workbench and tools. The big padlock was closed, so it was safe to pass. The floorboards creaked with each step as I slowly crept toward the next threshold. I climbed up on a wooden, very large wooden step, stood on my toes, and wiped the dust and dirt from the cracked panes, allowing me to see. Actually peek into the window for any signs of life. The kitchen was dark, but I was optimistic someone will be in another room. I grasped the large round brass doorknob with both hands, turning, and then jammed the massive door ajar with my shoulder. My Aunt Carissa and her family lived on the ground level I called out all their names, but there was no reply. The only sound came from water dripping in the bathtub, which was in a room adjacent to the kitchen. I remember we never referred to it as the bathroom, and I never went in there alone. The walls and ceiling, once painted egg white, now only yellow plaster with cracks and holes that let in a little wind along with some small crawly things with more legs than I. The only illumination came from a single light bulb suspended from the ceiling. The long string that activated it hung down behind the door. Whenever nature called, I would tell an adult, "I have to go. Take me in there," while pointing towards the room. The door opened inward and bumped against the massive bathtub. The tub's legs resembled lion paws, which must have been formed by pouring the iron in a mold. I would hold onto the sink to my left while my protector partially closed the door, and I would grope for the string. After I pulled on the string and the light revealed a large window in front of you, that's when you looked through it, you could see the back of a door that led to six steps that sent you down to the basement. Next to the window on the left was another door where the toilet was hidden. That room had no lighting. However, inside this room where the toilet was, there was another door with a window in it. In the daytime, looking through the window of that door, I could see rays of sunlight filtering through the boarded-up porch and shadows of discarded furniture that was kept stored there. There was no heat source for this portion of the house. In the winter, my lips remained blue for hours after I bathed. After recalling all of this, I shuddered and decided to proceed straight ahead, dwarfed by the appliance on my right and the kitchen table to my left. I made a dash for the archway of the dining room. The dining room windows stretched from the lofty ceiling to the wooden floor and spanned the length of the wall to my left. Other walls that were plaster were dark with torn paper that once had a beautiful wall design which seemed to feel like felt. Cobwebs hung in the corners, some with leftover dinner, others with wishful tenants. Sunbeams reflected off the crystal chandelier danced in every corner of the room. The room easily accommodated the formal, oversized dining table, padded chairs, china cabinet, and five doors. I felt like a mouse in a maze. With my heart in my throat, I pondered my next direction. Glancing to my right, I noticed the ornate carving that covered the door leading to my aunt's bedroom. It was a half-glass, heavy wooden door, similar to those used for exterior access, with a matching window on the wall beside it. And like outside doors and windows, the paint was peeling off, showing dark mold on a decaying wood. Draperies were hung from inside the bedroom for privacy, but I always imagined someone or something was hiding there, watching me. The wall of doors stood before me. Three huge doors challenged my presence. The formal entryway on the left was seldom used because of the time involved in opening two cumbersome black metal doors separated by a small foyer. Behind them was a long wooden covered porch with an adjacent enclosed porch. The two formed an L-shaped boundary between the living quarters and the street below. The locked center door led to the basement. Only Uncle George dared to descend those steep and rickety stairs alone. I remember that others, two or more persons, would find it necessary to carry flashlights to provide the light to locate the hanging electric bulb during the daylight hours. No one went down there at night. Negotiating the stairs took what seemed 5 or 6 minutes, with each step harder to take. Once on the basement floor, the area appeared to be an ancient dungeon with steep, cold limestone walls that slanted up to the ceiling. Doors with wooden slats that locked down when closed. A room with a dirt floor that locked from the outside. And the stairs, visible from upstairs, that led to a door covering a brick wall. The central room housed a gigantic, dark octopus coal furnace, which was converted to gas. I remember once when I was down there and the furnace turned on, how the fire inside danced, making the front look like it had a mouth with very long teeth. They seemed to move as I walked past, and I wouldn't dare take my eyes off that opening. I was terrified that the door would not hold what was inside and bust open. And oh my, I didn't want to think of what would happen. There was old mold covering wooden phone booth used as a shower stall. A washing machine with rollers on top to wring out the water from the wash clothes. There were boxes, trunks, and various items displaced through the years, shadows everywhere. The entire substructure appeared sinister. I chose the only remaining exit from the dining room, which took me into my cousin's bedroom, which was located in front of the house and the last two doors. Unable to open either door, I suddenly realized how loud the house groaned and moaned. Feeling frightened and helpless, I closed my eyes and saw it. I heard a door bust open and knew a ghost or demon would attack as punishment for leaving the safety of my yard. As I prepared for my demise, a hand touched my head. The hairs on my neck stood out like pins. My legs refused to move. I could hear my heart beating so loud and fast. I wanted to cry out, but my mouth refused to move. I was frozen in the spot. Grandmother scolded me for leaving my mother's yard, dried my tears, and with a loving hug, banished all my fears. Together we climbed a long stairway to the second level where she lived and she called home. However, I never equated her apartment with the rest of the house, except from the outside. She had her own bedroom with a small round sun porch that faced the street, a living room bathroom and kitchen with a long and close porch that was used as a greenhouse. The third floor was accessible by a spiral staircase hidden behind a door, which she kept locked. I never desired to know what secrets were sequenced behind it, at least not right now.
Enchanted House of Doors was written by Anna Estep Tatterzak, narrated by John Tatterzak, music by PodSafeAudio.com, Incompetech.com, sound effects by SoundSnap.com, A1FreeSoundEffects.com, SoundDogs.com, and PartnersInRhyme.com. Post-production by Eric DeRochers. I'm your announcer, Darren Marlar. This has been an original Misfits audio special. All rights copyrighted 2009.